We have a few questions that have been typed in, and so I'll go through those, and then we can also open the phone lines for questions once we get through everything that's been typed in. Let me see here. Let me first ask, are you hearing an echo from my phone line?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I'm hearing an echo. I'm hearing an echo of myself, but as long as nobody else is hearing it, then I guess we're okay. The first question comes from Dan Murray, and the question is, has the U.S. DOT determined exactly how tolls, pricing, and public-private partnerships will impact freight?
There is an awful lot of research going on in that regard. There's, of course, a lot of concern. Trucks would divert off of those roadways where they aren't priced and tolled. And it is a key concern of ours and a key area of interest and research. I think we need to clearly understand when we start to toll the system, exactly what kind of an effect that is going to have on freight movement. And Dan is exactly right. The answer to his question is no, we do not completely understand all of the impacts of tolling and pricing on freight movement. It is an area that we need to get a whole lot smarter on, and we will be doing that as we move forward into reauthorization. It's an area that we have targeted for research and interest here within the department. It is a new area, and we'll be looking at it closely.
Okay, thank you. The next question is, will there be a proposal for freight-focused projects to have a separate funding stream?
Not within the current DOT proposal. This administration has kind of put forward what it's going to do and the way it sees the focus of the next reauthorization bill as laid out in the proposal that's on the website. Whether or not there is one in the reauthorization proposal that Congress crafts remains to be seen. But out of the department, what you see is what you get so far. There will be no particular freight cutout within the department's proposal.
Okay, and the next question comes from Caltrans. How will the proposed truck parking pilot be different than the current one?
Well, there is no truck parking pilot. There is a rest area improvement pilot, which could affect truck parking along the interstate system, but that's not really a truck parking pilot in the same way that the one that we have currently in legislation that we're working.
Okay.
The person who posed that question wants to have a follow-up, and by all means, once they open up the phone lines, please do so.
Definitely, and we have a few more questions to type in, but then we'll definitely have time to open the phone lines. Will there be a proposal for corridors, multimodal and multi-state, to be funded as a single entity project?
Not within the department's proposal. Again, what the department has put out in the concept paper is being kind of fleshed out as far as legislative text is concerned, but there is no intent, as far as I know, to change or modify the basic tenets of the current departmental proposal to include things along those lines. But if you think about federal interest highways as being the major corridors, that's the thing that the department has. Once you get these solved, it will, in effect, address the corridor issue.
Okay. And then going back to the truck parking pilot, I think the clarification there was comparing it to the current Section 1305.
Now, Section 1305 is not the same at all with this rest area improvement pilot in the department's proposal. The truck parking 1305 proposal was to take a look at how we could improve specifically truck parking across the entire United States. And the two proposals that we have funded in that regard deal with corridor-wide truck parking issues, one along I-95 and one along I-5. One along I-95 is a public sector proposal on how they could use better information regarding parking availability and to get that information into the hands of the truckers using a number of public sector means to do so. The one on I-5 is more a private sector endeavor, and so it'll be interesting kind of monitor these two proposals as they move through to completion and understand which of the two models work better and what the advantages and disadvantages are of the two. But that whole program was specifically devoted to truck parking. The rest area improvement program does not necessarily target only truck parking alone. It's for the entire interstate system, for the passengers as well as for the drivers.
Okay. The next question, will the Federal Interest Highway, or FIH, be based on the NHS?
No, it will not. It's mostly the interstate system, and then there's a line in there that would talk about other critically important national corridors that are off the interstate system. That is left undefined. I mean, within the freight analysis framework, we have taken a look at where those critical transportation assets are that carry large volumes of freight, for example, that are not on the interstate system, but still are very, very significant quantities of goods that they move. So that would be an example of how we could possibly go interstate plus, if you will. But mostly it's going to be the interstate system and a few other areas beyond the interstate system, but not as expensive.
Okay. Next question, will the proposed Metro Transportation Board replace or supplement the current MPOs?
Very, very good question. That is going to have to be determined with kind of at the local level. There are an awful lot of attributes of an MPO that could be rolled into an MTB. Again, that's going to have to all be worked out. The idea is you have an entity at the metropolitan region that can cover the entire area with all of the transportation opportunities available to it. Whether or not it the MPO becomes the MTB or whether it becomes a new entity remains to be seen.
Okay, and another question typed in. Do you expect standardization for the benefit cost analysis and P3 comparisons?
There will be a number of guidelines, I'm sure, that will be put out regarding how to quantify benefits so that we can compare apples to apples as we're looking at these things. But there are an awful lot of different ways of doing benefit costs, and I would hate to have to constrain a lot of those or basically push everybody into a particular type of benefit cost analysis tool. But that said, there needs to be some harmonization, standardization on how we look at benefits or how we quantify benefits or what we're willing to consider as benefits in those. But then there could be a number of different methodologies that you use to take a look at it. I would not like to see it constrained too tightly, but there does need to be some harmonization and standardization on what it is we're going to consider and how we're going to consider it. It kind of goes along the lines with the performance measures. We need to identify the areas that are important, and then set up some quantifiable measures for how we're going to do that, and then leave it to the states to figure out how they want to set the goals and where they want to go.
Okay. That's all we have typed in right now. I do see that one participant, Dave Franklin, has his little icon with a hand raised. I'm not sure if that means you have a question, but if you do, if you want to either type that in, or we'll go ahead now and open up the phone lines, and you could ask a question over the phone. Wendy, if you could give instructions on how to ask a question over the phone.
Thank you. At this time, to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touchtone phone. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your request, please press star followed by 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Once again, star 1 to ask a question. I'm currently showing no audio questions.
Okay, thank you. Tony, is there anything else that you wanted to add?
No, I would just encourage people to stay engaged in the discussion and to monitor these things. Like I said, here within the freight office, we are tracking all of these different proposals and looking at where they are compatible with one another and where they are different. And we'll have an entire spreadsheet in the matrix, and we'll do all of that within the freight office. As we get closer to reauthorization and more of these start to become, start to get on the table for consideration, I will leave it to the group that engages in talking to freight to see whether or not they want to, you know, revisit this and kind of do a crosswalk across a number of the different proposals that are out there. But again, we're early in the process, and I don't want to keep pounding this, but I do think it was important to kind of lay out for people that there are a number of key issues that are coming to the fore and showing themselves again and again, particularly in the area of performance measures, in the area of accountability and benefit cost, that people need to pay attention to. And then the question of the federal role, and paying attention to exactly how that debate evolves regarding what the federal role is, where the federal government should be focusing its interests, and then how it's going to be targeting trust fund dollars in support of those federal interests. That's a key piece of this next reauthorization debate, and I just want to get people tooled into the major elements of this debate so they can pay attention to it, and as they look at different proposals, kind of sift through in their own mind how those different proposals play against those general themes that we see moving along.
Excuse me, do you have a question at this time?
Sure.
Jay Nuttall, you may ask your question, please.
Thank you. It's Jay Nuttall from the Ontario Ministry of Transportation in Canada phoning. We were wondering whether the freight implications of these proposals has a major component for cross-border and cross-continental freight movement. Of course, the North American gateway concept and the free trade agreements between Canada, the United States, and Mexico are all very important for freight movement in the entire continent.
Well, I would think the FIH formula funds could definitely be allocated along the border regions. Definitely they would be eligible under the FIH discretionary program. To the extent that we have large metropolitan areas that sit directly on the border, all of those metropolitan mobility dollars would be part and parcel of border crossing issues. So we have a number of areas along the US Canadian border where we have large metropolitan areas adjacent to the border. So a lot of those programs' dollars could be allocated toward border crossing projects. But again, the flexibility will be left to the metropolitan regions and to the states about how they want to prioritize those projects.
Thank you very much.
And we do have another question typed in. Is a CR, which I think meaning continuing resolution, likely for the next bill given the presidential election?
An endless source of debate. Sure, it's entirely a possibility. We'll have a new administration, we'll have potentially a new Congress, and in fact, we're going to expect a six-year reauthorization bill within 9 months of sitting down in their new positions. I would be surprised if it happened. And keep in mind, we'll have a new departmental secretary, we'll have a new FHWA administrator, all of the major political positions within the department will be changing out. They will be getting on board, getting up to speed. It'll be probably March or April before we have a full suite of personnel on board. I think that they can go from there to a new bill 6 months, which is aggressive at best.
Okay. If we don't have any more questions, I'm going to go ahead and conclude today's seminar. But while I'm going through the conclusion, if you continue to think of questions, please feel free to type them in or ask them over the phone, and we still have plenty of time to address them. Thank you, Tony, for presenting at today's seminar, and thank you, everybody, for attending. The recording and the presentation will be available online within the next week, and I'll send out an email once it becomes available. If you didn't register in advance and would like to receive the follow-up information, please send me an email and let me know so I can make sure to add you to the list. I'd like to give a brief mention about the Federal Highway Administration Freight Peer-to-Peer Program. This program puts public sector freight transportation professionals in touch with experts in the field and provides technical assistance in order to enhance overall freight skills and knowledge. The program is available to public entities, including state DOTs and MPOs. And to learn more about the program or arrange a peer exchange or discuss serving as a peer or an expert, please visit the peer-to-peer website, or you can send an email or call the number that's showing up on your screen. We actually have a peer exchange going on in Atlanta this week on land use issues, and one of the benefits of the peer exchanges is we hope to put kind of the results of them online so that people that didn't attend the peer exchange can still benefit from them as well. The next seminar is going to be held on September 17th and will be on commercial motor vehicle size and weight. If you haven't done so already, I encourage you to visit the Talking Freight website and sign up for the seminar. And I'll bring the slide back up with that information. And I also encourage you to join the Freight Planning Listserv if you haven't already done so. So if we don't have any other questions, I think we'll close out for today. Thank you, Tony, and thank you everybody in attendance.
Jennifer.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.